5. Loading. 4.
Into Sheringham. And Solskjaer is winning.
3. Almost there. 2.
Cross. And Dempsey's tonight again. And Donovan has scored. Oh, can you believe this?
1. Here we go. Now. Introducing Sunday League Finest Podcast with your host, David Donis and Roberto O.B. Hernandez.
Welcome in, everybody. I hope you guys were having a great start to your week. Unfortunately, it's now time to listen to me and David. Nah, just kidding. We're blessing and you guys know it. David, say what's up to everybody, all the beautiful listeners out there.
What's up, all you beautiful, sexy people? It's Monday, which you know what that means. It's time to talk about soccer, baby.
Yeah. Of course, everyone's listening to this on a Tuesday, but we do record on Monday. So just so our listeners are aware.
They know by now. If not, man, y'all stupid. Just kidding. I love you guys. I'm just kidding. I love you guys.
David, pretty busy day, pretty busy weekend. How was it? How's everything going? How's life?
Yeah, you know, life is good, man. I had a good Easter weekend. My niece, my sister's daughter, we did a little egg hunt for her at the house. So it was really cute. And the weather was, man, just perfect. It was like low 70s, sun was out, made some carne asada. You know, had a couple of drinks to celebrate the Lord. how about you, mijo?
Did you not know these are the Lord's chips? Yeah, it's a good weekend. Saturday did a little bit of homework, you know, watched a little bit of replay of Bellator, and then Sunday enjoyed you know, the resurrection on celebration with our family, just relaxing. It was good time, and can't wait to get started on this week. And dude, the best thing is every single podcast that comes out, we're 1 week closer to the kickoff, baby. We're 2 weeks out. Yep. I'm pretty excited. MLS is going to be back in a couple weeks.
And some of us, which I are like the good teams, get to start a little bit earlier, right? With Champions League coming up.
Or snuck your way into it, more like it. But I guess, David, you brought up the worst team in the MLS. So go ahead. Let us know what's going on in Hotlanta.
That's something we should talk about. Like, who is the worst team in MLS? Have you had to put like all your money on it? But we don't have to talk about it. I was just maybe that's another topic that we could talk about, or ask put a poll up and see what people say.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna have to put a poll up, but because there's multiple criteria for that, right? You can say worst team in sense of fan base, worst team of average attendance, you know, worst team in actual, you know, success on the field. So, or even that's worst true. Team in like jersey sales, right, and all that. So we'll have to put a poll up, and we'll definitely have to discuss that before the kickoff.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one to talk about. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of Atlanta United news. I think everything's just kind of been building up for our Champions League game that is Tuesday against Alajuelense. And me and Obi are going to break that down in a little bit. But the main thing was finally announced that Atlanta United is going to have 50% capacity for their games.
In a big old stadium, so that's a lot of people.
Yeah, but it's not there. I don't know why. I wonder if it's personnel or just the optics, but it's going to be the smaller stadium. So the 45,000 seater, it's around that, but it's not the full 78,000 fully open stadium. So it's half of 43 or 45, which is, you know, like, you know, 20,000 and some change. So it's still a good amount of people. But if it would be 78 or whatever, you'd have like 35,000 people showing up. So I'm wondering if they decided to go that route just so they don't have that come across people's news feed that they're having games in Atlanta with 35,000 people there.
Potentially. But I mean, Florida's doing whatever they want. Texas is doing whatever they want. So I think you're fine.
That's true. But I think Atlanta, like compared to Florida, Atlanta is just a bluer city than a lot of even big cities in Florida, because they're a lot more spread out, you know. So it's not as many people living in one city, so to speak.
Yeah, well, the UFC event, Usman versus Masvidal, right, sold out 15,000. So
yeah,
I know it's a smaller number, but smaller venue as well, and completely sold out seat to seat. It's gonna be a pretty crazy event.
It's going to be crazy for all sports just because, you know, people are dying to go see their team. And the crazy thing with Atlanta United, which I still haven't heard anything about what's going to happen with our tickets from last year and season tickets, because we have 35,000 season ticket holders.
Sounds like a small team for an office, you know?
Well, yeah, it's getting pretty close. So I don't know what they're waiting. I don't know if they're waiting for vaccines to keep rolling out. But if you got 35,000 season ticket holders and only 21,000 seats available, like, what the heck is going to happen? And what about those other people like me that had, like, the packages where you get six games, and then also people that just want to buy single tickets? Like, all that is, like, yeah, still hasn't been figured out.
They haven't even said when tickets are going to sell or anything?
Nah, dude. It's pretty crazy.
That's insane. Well, I mean, kind of speaking on the whole ticket sales, me and my cousins were able to get tickets to the home opener for Galaxy. But, man, was that a crazy, like, event. So, we're season ticket holders. So, we had an email sent to us, like, a couple of days before saying, hey, you're going to be able to have access at this time because I've been a season ticket holder for 2 years now. So, I had access at, like, 1 p.m. on April 1st versus, like, other season ticket members had access at 9 a.m., right? But they told us in the email, oh, you're going to have you can buy up to 8 tickets, you know, pods of 8. So, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I needed 7 tickets. Dude, you get on. There's no grouping of 7 tickets or 8 tickets combined. It's literally 4 tickets, 3 tickets, 2 tickets, 1 ticket, like all spread out. Mm-hmm. And then you're on there trying to like click it. By the time you click it, find like a group of 4 that you want. Then you try to take it to your cart. It's like, oh, somebody else beat you to it. So you basically went on and clicked on whatever there was and took it, dude. It was a pretty crazy turn of events. And actually, my account even tripped out because we were how we spoke about on the last episode about our credit that we have on the account. Dude, my account, when I would put the credit, it'd say total due zero, but it wouldn't let me like finalize it. So I actually had to call my buddy, who's also a season ticket member with me, and he had to get all the tickets. So I don't know. It's going to be a weird turn of events. I'm going to have to see if I can transfer credit to him or just have to pay him cash or whatever it may be. But yeah, it was a hassle. If I didn't know anybody, I wouldn't have been able to get my hands on the tickets, you know? So it was a pretty crazy event, but hey, at least we're going. I'm sure
it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can be pretty frustrating. And I'd be interested to see, like, is it just y'all's experience or if other teams are having to deal with this as well?
Yeah, no, definitely. If your guys' teams have to deal with this, put it out on Facebook to us. That way we can see what every single team's trying to do, you know? I haven't really heard much from LAFC, actually, so it's pretty strange because obviously they're close proximity, but I haven't heard anything. But then again, I'm not checking their feed, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, like you said, on a positive note, you're gonna go to the home opener. And also, man, I mean, what were the ticket prices like?
Oh, you know, Galaxy staying true to their word. The cheapest tickets were $20. I think field tickets were like $100, so they weren't even that expensive.
Wow.
End line where we're sitting, $25. So really good. Sideline was like $65. Everything very good price. And that's a club that truly cares about their fans.
Yeah, I really would have thought that they were going to jack the prices up. And not so much just because like, hey, you know, screw them, whatever, we know, we can charge whatever. But just because, you know, they're hurting and they've lost a lot of revenue. So just to make that up. So, you know, it's good. Obviously, you want the club to succeed. So, you know, hopefully they, you know, at least, you know, make good amount of money back. Because, I mean, I would think that like this year, depending on capacity, that every game should be technically a sellout with how many tickets are being offered, right?
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting because I know a lot of people bought them to try to resell as well. And then at least here in California, since we have tighter restrictions for COVID, like they said, your mask has to be on the entire game. Like even when you're seating, there's not going to be allowed of like drinking water or eating anything. So I'm assuming because of that, they're not selling anything at the stadium. So maybe that's how they're kind of saving their money because they're not going to have to pay anybody on all that, you know, concession stands and all that good stuff. So it's going to be interesting. And then if you had VIP seats, which is like sideline, the first like two rows of the stadium, which is like closer to the field, there you have to arrive early because you have to get COVID tested before going into the stadium. And if one member in your pod get test positive, you're screwed, dude. You're not going to the game.
So that means everybody's going to give that one member in the pod a beatdown.
Yes, sir. You know, make sure everyone's quarantined 2 weeks before. Luckily for your boy, I'm vaccinated. So you know what's up. I'm just going to go stroll into the game, relax.
Yeah, you just need that STD vaccination too, bro.
Hey, one thing at a time, one thing at a time, dude.
All right, man. All right, let's get into this MLS roundup, bro.
Well, real quick, before we get into a serious substitution rule that has just changed, tell me a little bit about the new Austin FC Q2 stadium. That's a weird one, huh? Q2.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of the O2 for Arsenal, you know, the old sponsor on the jerseys.
Yeah, yeah, dude, when Arsenal was actually good, yeah.
Hey, calm down. But I mean, it's funny because you know you have these new stadiums and they kind of have the drawings and the rendering. So obviously, like, you know, just looking at the pictures, I mean, it looks good. It looks amazing. Very green. You know, it's going to be one of those more soccer specific intimate stadiums. But it looks like they're going to have a lot of their training facilities are going to be like on site. So that's always good because I know that's a hard thing to get where you have the stadium and the practice fields next to it. But everything I've seen looks pretty impressive. So obviously I think it's a step in the right direction for soccer in this country. And I think that's the right fit for that city. You know, we've talked about the huge football stadium approach kind of retrofitted for soccer versus the soccer specific stadium and how some of them work and some of them don't. I think this is going to work. Well, how do you feel?
It looks pretty impressive from the renderings. One question, I mean, this is obviously just a rendering because they might have a better updated. It's the one I'm currently looking at. It doesn't look like there's much parking. So I don't know if it's going to be like, oh, it's downtown, kind of just find your own parking wherever you can. Because even on this rendering, dude, they have a bunch of cars parked on like grass. So I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. If there's maybe a parking structure that's going to be, you know, built for it. But hopefully they're able to figure that out.
Yeah, I never thought about looking at parking, but yeah,
hey,
that's a good point.
Dude, you gotta think about these things. Did you forget to add bathrooms in your rendering too? Come on. I actually took a class about that, and we added about managing a stadium and all these facilities, and that was one of the biggest things that people get critiqued on is, like, where are your people going to use the restroom at? You got to include these in your plans, dude.
It is true, though, man, because when you're trying to go after having a couple beers, dude, you don't want to walk halfway across the stadium just to use the bathroom.
Let's talk about that. All right, guys, we all know the unwritten rule. If you go in and there's a urinal, you don't go to the one right next door, you know, next to the person, dude. You skip one. If it's completely full, all right, we understand. But come on, dude. You can't trust people that come and stand right next to you and they're like, hey, how's it going?
Now, see, this is a certain club kind of problem, because when you go to the United games, bro, you got to grab the first one you see. You're like racing people to get to that urinal.
I was just speaking in general, but all right.
But I get what you mean. That, you're like the only person in there and they come right next to you to pee?
Yeah, yeah, dude.
Hey. He's like, hey, what's up, buddy?
Another big news was Bobby Wood to RSL. So what do you think about that? I mean, RSL's kind of been a club that, like, hits and miss. One season they're really good, the next season they're really poor. Bobby Wood, I mean, up until this news, we hadn't even heard about him. To be honest, I had forgotten about Bobby Wood.
He, like, went from being, like, at least in the rotation to being our starting striker for the U.S. men's national team to, like, completely disappearing after we failed to qualify for the World Cup. I haven't heard from him ever since, or, you know, like you mentioned, you barely heard any news. I think Bobby Wood still has his skills to do well in MLS. And I think RSL is a good fit for him because, like you mentioned, they're kind of like a small to medium tier market team. So they don't go out and go crazy with their signings. You know, they're pretty, they usually get pretty good bang for their buck. So I think this is right in their wheelhouse. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, before he kind of disappeared, Bobby Wood was a good up and coming striker. I think very similar in the sense to Josie Altidore, in the sense that, like, he's a hold up type forward rather than you're going to play him through to like a Josh Sargent, right? I think it's a good signing for RSL. I think it's definitely an underrated signing because obviously there hasn't been a lot of headlines on it, right? So I think it's a very underrated signing that's definitely going to come through and people are going to start to remember who Bobby Wood is and what kind of talent he has.
Yeah, and he's 28, so, you know, he's not young anymore, not an up-and-comer, and he's not technically old, so he's kind of in that, you know, where I think he still has a good couple of years to thrive in MLS if he plays his cards right.
Yeah, no, definitely a good option. I mean, one new change that has happened, not only in the MLS, but in the NWSL, and what I was reading from the article is that it's kind of like FIFA is using us as an experiment. So I don't know how we feel about that.
Well, that's how it was for VAR too, right?
Yeah, we're one of the first.
We're like the guinea pigs.
Yeah. Do you think it's because we're like a decent sized league with decent like average attendance and all that and viewership? So it's like it's not too big of a league, but not too small of a league.
I think it's that, and then we also have like infrastructure and the technology to do this.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's with VAR. Right? You couldn't really test out VAR in a lot of different countries.
Well, a lot of countries still don't have it.
Exactly. You know, and even now, you have tournaments and you have qualifying and UEFA where they didn't even use VAR. So it's like, I think we just have the infrastructure to support it, as well as having a good sample study of like, you know, our league is kind of up and coming and we have a lot of rules in place and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, kind of spinning off of that, so it's a new substitution rule. I think it's one that is good. It's the concussion substitution rule. So it allows teams that, you know, has a player who suffered a concussion or is under suspicion of having a concussion, they're able to have an additional substitution to take them off. Now, here's the trippy part. Because usually we have three substitutions, right, in a game.
Mm-hmm.
COVID hit. They allowed 5 substitutions. I read that the MLS this season is still going to allow 5 substitutions, but they have to do it, and they only had 3 opportunities, like windows, to give the 5 substitutions in. So basically, if you miss the window to get your 5 substitutions in, it doesn't matter if you still have them, you can't make the sub. So it's not like the you know, with 3 substitutions when you can make them at any time. So it's kind of a weird reference. And now on top of that, you have the concussion rule substitution. So technically a team could get 6 subs in if they really want to, right? Again, the referees aren't really at the discretion. It's more of the doctors, or just if a coach feels like, you know, they're suspicious of a concussion. But because I was thinking, I was like, well, any team's going to do a concussion, quote unquote, right? Sub if they need. But what I was reading is kind of to counteract anybody lying is if you do a substitution for a concussion, the other team gets an additional sub. So say they're out of subs and you do a concussion substitution, no matter what, the other team is informed you have an additional sub now. So, I mean, what are your kind of thoughts on all that?
That was going to be my question, is like, how do you catch, you know, cheaters or people lying? So that kind of makes sense. I guess the only times it wouldn't work is if the other team wasn't planning on using a sub anyway, so they don't really get a benefit, you know, if the person's lying. Because the thing is, every time I'm not a fan of having 5 subs in general, because I always think about the dirty side of soccer. Obviously, us being Latinos, we're very familiar with that, and we know the length.
I don't know what you're talking about, dude.
Yeah, we're actually one of the cleanest players in the country. In the world, I mean. But yeah, I always think about folks that, you know, play that park the bus mentality, and they foul a lot to take you out of your element. And then, you know, you get a player with a yellow, and then maybe you get another player with a yellow, and then you're able to kind of just sub them out. And then the 2 players you bring in, now they also get a yellow, which technically would have been like a red card, because it would have been the same player committing a foul. So I feel like with the concussion rule, even though I like the idea of it because you want to protect the players, I just feel that so many people are going to find ways to be douches about it, so to speak.
Yeah, it's well, like you said, I'm not a fan of the 5 substitution rule. I think it was good for its purpose last season, you know, because players were definitely not in the greatest shape coming back. But I think 5 substitutions should have been eliminated this season. Now you're kind of adding the concussion substitute, which I like, but you're right, dude. Players, I mean, a coach might be willing to take that risk, right? Like, oh, screw it. I'll give the other team an additional sub just to be able to use this, my substitution, right? And it could be a tactical change. So, I mean, according to the MLS article that I read, I didn't see anything that said, you know, they have to sit out a game if they come out, you know, concussion protocol, which is – interesting because, I mean, if they really do have a concussion, they wouldn't be ready for the next game, right? Because I think it's like a week that you typically sit out with concussion. So I like the innovation to try to keep players a little bit more safe and, you know, kind of, yeah, to make the game more safe for concussions. But you're right, dude. There's going to be a lot of tricky players that are going to take advantage of the rule.
Yeah. And if, yeah, if you could have a rule where they do sit out the next game, then that would definitely obviously stop people from cheating. But then again, if a player is concussed and he's like, oh, I don't want to have to sit out next game, you know, I'm getting favored with the coach now, he might just play through that concussion, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that the doctor's staff? Because there's a job where there's a bunch of players that want to play through the concussion anyways. So the doctors have to really be on the lookout and really evaluate
them. Yeah. It really has to be somebody that doesn't have any ties to the team either, because they're going to always do, like, what's in the best interest of the team. So it's got to be an independent person that, you know, decides that. And that's another – that's a hard thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, as of right here, it doesn't say it will be, like, an MLS doctor. I think it's a team doctor or the coach. But, yeah, it's – when a concussion occurs, or it's suspected, it is. So it's going to be an interesting one. We'll see what coaches take advantage of it and how it rolls out.
Did you hear what I said? I said it's going to be Stitch. Stitch. Cut man.
Oh, no. I heard you say it's going to be Sketch.
Oh, no, no. It's going to be Stitch, the cut man,
the
dude.
The cut man,
miss him, dude. He's in Bellator, isn't he?
I'm not even sure where he's at now. I know he's in all the boxing movies.
Yeah, I miss him, dude. He was great in the UFC, but that's a tangent.
Little tangent that we go off on. If you guys can't tell, we're big MMA fans too. I know nothing about the sport. I just like to watch people get knocked out. So, yeah.
That shows that you don't know anything about the sport, because it's way more than just being knocked out.
Obviously, that's why I said I like to just see people get knocked out.
All right, let's continue before we start fighting.
Oh, my goodness. All right. David, do you feel a little bit of heat coming on, dude? Because I think I'm getting a little bit of CCL fever, bro.
This is the champion.
The CONCACAF Champions League. The real Champions League comes back.
The real one, yeah. I know that. The music isn't as cool as the one for the UEFA Champions League, though, because they play a like, dun, 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 or something like that, right, when they come out.
Yeah.
So, but they do have a cool, like, the logo kind of has that Game of Thrones, like, with the crowns and stuff. That like, looks pretty good. Don't you think so?
Is it still the Scotia Bank, whatever it is?
Scotia Bank, yeah.
But CCL fever, it's a real thing. Guys, we know the soccer isn't as good as the UEFA Champions League, but man, if you really support a team or just watch it, enjoy the CONCACAF, those games are scrappy. It's good, especially when it's Liga MX versus, you know, MLS.
USA.
So, David, it starts tomorrow, or if you're listening today, I guess, Tuesday, right? And Wednesday, all afternoon games. David, I know your team's in it, but besides Atlanta United playing Alajuelense, what other teams are you excited for?
Well, really quick, I just want to run down the matchups. It's 16 teams, so it's a two-leg knockout, and you kind of go through the next step. So it's not like a huge tournament. I think they might be expanding in the future where they actually might go back to the group stage model. But yeah, like you mentioned, it's another way to see the Mexico-U.S. rivalry that obviously we just got through it with the U.S. Under 23 team. And this is like another way, but in club form. And as we all know, Mexico has dominated, especially against the U.S. And we've had MLS teams make it all the way to the final and then just always crap out. So we need that one team. And I think I speak for all MLS fans that we don't care who it is.
Minus LAFC.
Yeah, I guess that might be the only thing that, unless it's your rival, but I think that only, I don't know if Seattle would want Portland to win, to lose. I feel like that might, the want of a win for U.S. might be greater than most rivalries, except maybe LA Galaxy and LAFC, just for how fierce it is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I typically go for all MLS teams, including Canadian teams, but we all know if MLS team's going to win it, we'd rather it be a domestic U.S. team. But Toronto was pretty close, right? I think they were one of the closest teams to win it.
Yeah, so every CONCACAF champion, there's four Mexican teams, there's four American teams, and one Canadian team that's usually an MLS team. So we kind of have like an extra spot. And then the rest of the spots are kind of, divvied out through a tournament. I believe it's like a Central American and Caribbean tournament for those last few spots. So here's some of the matchups. I'll go through them. And then you can kind of give me your picks, Obi, and I'll kind of do the same thing.
We'll give the whole matchups, and then we'll do a little bit of rapid fire.
All right. Or do you want to just answer them as I go through them right now?
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Do you mean in this game or in the sense of over the two legs?
The two legs.
All right, gotcha.
All right, this one, let's see how I pronounce it. Arcai, that's a Haitian team, I believe, against Cruz Azul. I wonder which one you're going to pick.
Cruz Azul, yeah.
Obviously, I got the same thing. And then, man, this is I feel bad for Toronto FC, but they got to play face Lyon.
That's going to be a tough one. Oof. Although I'm rooting for them less, I think Lyon might go because Toronto's going to have a new coaching staff to implement their new style, to get used to all that. It's definitely going to be difficult. So, yeah, Lyon.
I think they have too many changes that, and obviously you're starting up the season too, so it's always tough. Atlético Pantoja, which I think it's Panamanian, I'm not sure. Versus Monterrey. Obviously, Real Esteli versus Columbus Crew.
Columbus should take it.
Yeah, same here.
Caleb Porter, I'm a big fan of, and Jazzy Zardes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You miss them, don't you?
I do.
And then the big boys from Costa Rica, Saprissa, against Philadelphia Union. Now, that one's going to be a tough one, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, I think a lot of people underestimate these Costa Rican teams. And Saprissa is definitely one of the biggest teams there. It's hard because Philadelphia is barely starting. I think Philadelphia, but I think it's going to be like a one-goal difference.
Yeah, I think the same thing. So we're probably going to be really aligned on this. The next one, Alajuelense versus the king of MLS, Atlanta United.
The king? I don't know about that, dude. But anyways, Atlanta United. Although it's going to be difficult as well because it's the same reasons Toronto has, right? Brand new coaching staff. Only a few times to get ready for it. And Alajuelense is definitely a big team from Costa Rica. So it's going to be a tough one for Atlanta, especially I think they've only played like USL teams in the preseason. So we'll see. If Joseph is on fire, then there's no doubt Atlanta will go through.
Yeah, I pretty much think the same. I know before when we kind of had the same transition, we had players coming out, a new coach, and I think we had to play like Eliano or someone like that. And we went and we lost, I believe it was like 2-0. When we went over there to play, but then we came back home and won 3-0 and looked really good. So I'm thinking that when we go to Alajuelense, it's probably going to look very messy. And you just hope that you don't have a huge deficit or, at least get a draw, or maybe even pull off that win.
Is the first game in Costa Rica or home?
Yeah, it's in Costa Rica. Oof,
that one's tough. Dude,
yeah.
I know COVID and everything right now, but wouldn't that be a fun trip to be able to go over there and support your team in the Champions League?
Yeah, as long as you don't get shanked. But yeah,
you're in Costa Rica, bro. That's a safe country in Central America. I understand if you're saying you're going to Guatemala or Salvador, dude. But it's a safer country in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I don't. But when it comes to soccer, things start to change a little bit, man.
Well, don't sit there and talk crap. Just sit there and enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Two more, right?
Yeah. Olympia and America.
As much as it pains me to say it, America is gonna go through.
Yeah, and then another, that's from Honduras, and Marathon for Portland Timbers.
Portland.
Yeah, so we essentially got what normally happens, I think, is four American teams and four Mexican teams going through. Now, I think in past CCLs, there's usually one or two where, like, one American team gets knocked out and one Mexican team gets knocked out. So, I mean, the upsets that I'm looking at is potentially Saprissa and Philadelphia Union. And honestly, maybe Toronto FC and Lyon. Those are like the only two that I can really see it going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I see that too, but it all depends because the Liga MX doesn't start when they're not playing an MLS team. They won't send their starting lineups most of the time. So
really,
which yeah, or they send a few, right? Because they're in season at the same time. So they could get knocked out, but a lot of times they have a lot of depth, so they're usually able to get by anyways. But we'll see. Shouldn't be any surprises, but definitely, if you guys haven't seen CCL, CCL fever is a real thing. Not even joking. I'm pretty excited for it to come back. Might have to cancel all my work sessions so that way I can just watch the games.
Yeah, let's get a freaking win, man. Come on. MLS needs to, it's long overdue, bro.
I agree. Well, with that being said, David, do you want to transition to the NWSL?
Are you using transition lightly or...
no pun intended of what we're going to cover in the NWSL right now. But the NWSL starts April 9th with the Challenge Cup. They're about to, I think the first teams that kick off is Chicago Red Stars versus Houston Dash. So the games internationally are going to be streamed on Twitch, but domestically on CBS Sports Network or Paramount Network, the new one. So it's going to be interesting. And again, we didn't, no pun intended on the transition, but Orlando Sentinel just wrote about the new NWSL that they released a new transgender policy. Basically, any athlete assigned female at birth is eligible to play. Transgenders may be eligible, but will have to meet certain requirements like taking hormone replacement therapy for at least a year before even being considered. And then they have to keep their testosterone levels at a certain level. I forgot what the actual number is. And if for some reason it goes above that minimum, then the player can be suspended for 12 months. And this one's the kicker here is anyone that declares to be a female, you know, in terms of sports, they have to at least remain that gender of female for 4 years. So I guess this is to discourage any men that just want to play professionally and just say, hey, I'm gonna go play professional for a couple years and then come back or whatever it may be. So I guess it's to discourage, you know, for lack of a better term, anyone faking it just to make it into the league.
Yeah, I mean, and I think this is something that's gonna happen in a lot of sports, women's sports in particular. And it's obviously, you know, a tough issue because you want people to be accepted and be able to play, but you also want,
you got to keep it safe and fair.
Yeah, you got to keep it safe. You don't want women to be at a disadvantage as well. You know, some of the questions I have just by listening to your talk is when they say that testosterone levels must be at a certain amount, are they saying that testosterone level goes for all women or just women that are transgender? Because if that's the case, and their testosterone is higher than the other women, or is that saying that the other women can then take testosterone to be at that same level?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the article mentioned, and I'm not claiming to be an expert in this at any, you know, rate, but it mentioned something about according to studies, the adult cis gender has a certain level, and I think that's what they're going by. So I'm not sure if it's like females can take more, but it mentioned something about cis gender testosterone levels, and that's what they're going to kind of go by.
Yeah. Again, it's one of those, hairy issues, because obviously testosterone is banned, you know, in athletics, right? For men and women. If you get caught with that, you're suspended. So you're essentially giving permission to have testosterone. But again, is that just testosterone to meet what current women's levels are at? But even then, yeah, obviously women's testosterones are all different, right? So it's like, where you find that balance of what is the a fair level? So it's just a continual issue. And, you know, another thing too is just, you know, is there a age that, like, if you started doing it at 15, 16, 17, or 18, you know, because if you started taking, you know, let's say like an 18 versus someone that's a 14, you know, the outcome might be different because obviously you have, the fast twitch muscle fibers, the bone structure, the agility, the muscle growth, all that stuff you get from, you know, being a male for so long, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm, again, not a scientist or claim to be. So if
No, you don't say.
yeah, I'm going to earn a doctor degree just so you can call me a doctor, dude. But you're right. What about, if, like, you know, as a male, you use all your higher testosterone levels to grow big muscles and stuff like that, and then you start taking the hormone replacement therapy. Does that completely, like, change your build? I'm not too sure, you know? So it's going to be interesting going forward. I mean, in my kind of question is, like, even like on the opposite side, I know the MLS hasn't released anything, but if transgender athletes begin to, you know, want to play in the MLS, where, I'm not saying that they can, right? They can, but will it be actually done fairness, or will the MLS be pressured to let these transgender athletes play even if they're not at the level of the MLS, just because they don't want to be labeled as transphobic?
Right. And, you know, the thing that's difficult too is, you know, we're not talking about chess or ping pong, right? This is a contact sport. So there is, you know, ability to get really hurt, you know, and, you know, especially you think that you talk about, you know, it's happening in basketball and, you know, boxing and in MMA, where, you know, the risk for injury is a lot higher than, you know, say even like tennis or ping pong and stuff like that. So obviously you want people to be able to fit in and, you know, pursue sports no matter what your gender is. But again, you want to keep it safe and fair, because it, you know, it would suck for somebody that's just trying to be a professional women's basketball player for their whole life, and then, you know, somebody that just, you know, transitioned a year or two or 3 years before is able to get to there because they may have a little bit or, you know, an advantage, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean,
it's tough, man.
It's tough for the NWSL to even create that type of policy. So hats off for them to, you know, working on that. I think they were working with a group called the Athletes for Lesbian Rights, I think, something like that. And they're working with them to try to create that policy. So hats off for trying to create the policy to, you know, benefit the players that are currently playing and then benefit some potential new players that come into the league.
And honestly, right, wouldn't the decision to either do it or not, wouldn't it be dependent on the people it's going to affect the most? So wouldn't it be up to the women soccer players to decide if they think this is fair and safe?
I think that's a good idea. But at the same time, in today's society, will they judge, like, will they vote according to what they really believe? Or will they vote scared, like, oh, if I say it's not fair, will I be canceled? You know what I mean? So it's...
Yeah. You can make it anonymous. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the real thing, right? It's not up to us. We're not the ones that are playing. You know, it's really going to be up to women to feel if they're, you know, they're at a disadvantage, or they fear they may get really hurt, you know, without it being, you know, just, you know, I don't want to play with transgenders or whatever. No, like it has to be like a real legit issue. You can't just say you don't want to play with someone just because they're different, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. And kind of like talking about that whole issue is like, just because they're different. In Spain, dude, this past week, and I don't know if you heard about it, the entire Valencia team walked off the field in the middle of the game because of another, you know, racist comment that was said to one of their teammates. So I forgot the other team, but basically he said something, or alleged at least, the teammate who is black took offense to it. You know, they kind of got in each other's face, a little bit of a scuffle, and his team responded. They were angry, really, you know, towards that player as well. And his team responded and backed him, and, you know, just, you know, started waving everybody off the field. And, you know, they did it as a unity, as a family, and they walked off the field. I mean, kudos to that. I mean, that's something you want to be able to play for, right? Someone that's like that, like in the sense of that unity and family, and they won't stand up for anything like that. As well as San Diego Loyal did something like that too, because of I think it was something with gay. You know, one of their players is openly gay, and one of the other players said something about him being gay as well, you know, and said an insult, and all of San Diego Loyal walked off last season. So it's good seeing, you know, unity in soccer, and hopefully, you know, there's no space for homophobic or racism in soccer, you know, or in just hell in general, no. In society, dude.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and sadly, you know, obviously, you know, you hear a lot of this in Europe. I mean, even if you, like, especially, like, in Italy, we've heard about Balotelli, and I think even Danny Alves, one time somebody threw a banana on the field. So, you know, I'm not saying America's perfect, because obviously we have a lot of our own issues, but, dude, if somebody threw a banana on any stadium in America, the whole fans would beat up that one person if they did anything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least, you know, we have a long way to go, but at least here in America, like, you don't get crazy shit like that.
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. And it's, like, these players are, like, literally walking up to the black players and whispering it in their ear, right? So that way they can't be seen on camera, and then they can say, no, I said something else, right? So it's kind of interesting, because I'm like, all right, if you were saying something about his mom or anything else, right, or how he's playing, you wouldn't make it so secretive, you know? So I definitely think there is some truth behind it. Hopefully it goes away soon. But I don't know. What are your thoughts, final thoughts on it?
Yeah, same thing, man. It's just race always makes things, it heightens things versus saying, hey, you're dumb as hell or whatever. You're like, fine. As soon as somebody says something about your race or you know, calling you gay or whatever, it's making you seem like you're less of a person, right? And that's the part that turns it into something ugly.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of speaking about that, it kind of turned it ugly here in America too, with Altidore versus Twelman.
Drama,
right? And look, Taylor Twelman critiques all the time. I guess Jozy Altidore took offense because he's constantly being critiqued, and I guess of the way he described him, I guess Taylor Twelman, you know, talks about Jozy Altidore as big, powerful, and fast, and I guess he took offense because, this from my understanding, that, you know, they describe all the black players as those characteristics rather than their, you know, soccer IQ or you know, their positioning awareness and all these different aspects that they talk about every other player. I mean, I really didn't notice that kind of when they were saying it. Now I was like, okay, I can see that. So Jozy Altidore took offense. He went to Twitter. You know, he called out Taylor Twelman. He said Taylor Twelman shouldn't be on the, you know, broadcasting. His playing career is laughable. He sucks at, you know, analyzing. He should be on Extra Time Radio instead of where he's at. And said basically he's only there because he's a white boy with connections. In my personal opinion, I mean, race aside, well, of course, connections are going to get you every job in the world. I mean, connections are literally, that's why you network, right? Whether you like it or not, connections get you the jobs, bro. So, I mean, what are your kind of thoughts on the whole situation?
And this wasn't this all kind of spurred by Taylor Twelman kind of calling the U.S. 23 men's team, like, embarrassing for not qualifying?
Yeah, he said it was laughable.
Yeah, which, I mean, I agree with Taylor. It was laughable. Now, yeah, like you mentioned, and we can get, you know, if we get into this race thing, and everybody's going to see things differently, so I really don't want to go there deciding whether Twelman has his job because of white privilege and all that stuff. Because I really do think, like, the thing that really rubbed me the wrong way is that, you know, Altidore said that, you know, Twelman didn't have a good career, so he really shouldn't be talking about soccer. And that's kind of the whole, you know, debate we've had over too, is like, do you have to play the sport to be able to be a commentator and analyst about it, right?
I do think you have to play it at a certain level. I'm not saying like you have to be professional, but you do have to play it to understand it, right? Like, I can't sit there and go talk about golf or MMA at a higher level because I never did it at any level. Even if you do it at a rec level, you know what I mean? You at least understand the sport. And I don't think you need to be a professional to be able to talk about the game. I think there's a lot of, I mean, some of the top coaches right now, right, weren't professionals, and top analysts aren't professionals or weren't. But yeah, his career isn't like, it was a joke either way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Taylor obviously had a good career. He played for the national team. He was he did really well for New England Revolution, and I think even got European interest at some point. Everybody, I mean, let's be honest, we love listening to Taylor Twellman and Alexi Lalas. And why is that? They have a big personality. They're loud. They speak well. Because, for example, you know, we could talk about this with Landon Donovan, right? He's got the name. He's white. You saw him try to become an analyst, a commentator. Like, he wasn't that good at it. He didn't really have the personality for it. And he's not really commentating much. They have him a special guest once in a while, but he didn't get a reoccurring thing. And I really think it's because he just didn't really, like, speak that well. He didn't articulate. He wasn't very, like, boisterous or had a lot of personality. So, and I'm not saying that, obviously, you know, white privilege doesn't exist in certain things. But I just think in this case, it was just, I think Elpstor getting mad at probably what other people have kind of said about him. Because, you know, even us, when we kind of talk about Josie, like, you know, what do you picture? I don't picture a fast, agile guy that's, you know, streaming down the field and taking on players. I mean, do you?
No, I definitely don't. And I think to us, maybe it's just he's a hold up type forward, right? But it's the same thing I see when I see Bobby Wood. He's not a player that you're going to send on through balls very often. You know, you're going to play him to his feet. He's going to hold him off. He's going to turn. Now, granted, we probably talk a little bit more about, you know, the soccer IQ aspect, and, you know, maybe that's why, you know, he's been, you know, he did play at a good level. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, when you see a player, you're going to speak about the characteristics, right? So white or black, when I see a player that's fast on the wing, I talk about he's a pacey guy. You know, he has a lot of pace on him. He can play on the wing. He's very creative. And that's literally white or black.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Sergino Dest. I mean, he's fast on the wing, and he's also a very smart soccer player. The way he cuts in, the way he sets up players, like, he can do it all, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you have players that, but there's certain players where, like, yeah, they can make smart plays and stuff like that. But there's just certain players that, you know, they do certain things that's what you think about. You identify. Yeah. When I think about Joseph Martinez, I picture him up in the air, headering a ball into the corner, and barely ever touching the soccer ball but one or two times. You know, that's the kind of forward he is.
And the thing is, I mean, Josie had a great career. I mean, even for the U.S., right?
Had. He's still playing, dog.
I'm saying for the national team, dude. I don't.
Some respect on it.
I'd rather have Josie's artist as a nine versus Josie. But, dude, he was a good player, tremendous player. And I think, I honestly think if we had Josie in his prime, with the talent we have now, yeah, it would be phenomenal. But unfortunately, it just didn't happen at the right time. I think he has a lot of pent up aggression, because he did definitely take a lot of the heat for missing the World Cup in 2018. But I don't look, dude, as a professional player, you're going to get critiqued a lot. And I know it probably gets annoying. But Taylor Twellman and all the rest of the sports journalists, that's their job, right? To entertain the public, to entertain us. So if they're not entertaining, I mean, it's going to kind of get boring. You know what I mean? So I see why you could get annoyed, and I see, like, all right, I'm okay with him lashing out. I just don't think the race card was the main thing. But at the same time, we don't know, right? Maybe Josie has experienced a lot of racism in his life, and it was just a moment that he, you know, it was the tipping point, right? Taylor Twellman said one thing, and it was kind of like, all right, that's it, I'm gonna explode. And we don't know. And I think that's honestly our problem too, is that a lot of times we forget that these people, the analysts, Taylor Twellman, Josie Altidore, they're people. You know, they're not, you know, always going to do everything correctly.
Yeah.
And it was a tipping point. He was probably having a bad day. That happened. Boom. He said it. And a lot of times we say a lot of things when we're frustrated and angry, right? Like, I said a lot of things I regret, or I said a lot of things that were true about the person. I just didn't want to say them before, you know, and you just say it because you're angry. So,
or not saying it that way.
Yeah. And I don't blame Josie for calling out, but I don't blame Taylor Twellman for constantly critiquing everybody, right? Like, Josie was the face of the national team at the time. Him and Michael Bradley were the face. And when you're the face, you're going to take a lot of the, you know, heat for it too. So it's...
Yeah, I mean, Bradley got a lot of hate too, and a lot of, I mean, especially after we failed to qualify. I remember when Atlanta United was playing, people were booing every time Bradley touched the ball.
Yeah. Well, it's like football, right? And if the quarterback fails and doesn't show up and they don't win the game, the quarterback's the number one player getting critiqued. They don't talk about the linemen. They don't talk about, you know, all the other players. They
talk what about when the kicker misses a game-winning field goal?
Damn, that sucks. they got one job and they come in and mess it up.
All right, man. Let's move on.
Well, talk about your boy, dude. Talk about your man crush every day.
Man, Pulisic watch. Ah, man. Every time you just don't know what's gonna happen. Chelsea's looking good. Pulisic scores. Thiago Santos gets a red card. Things are going crazy. He comes in at the halftime, and then as Pulisic's taking the field, he didn't think anything's right. He's got a hamstring issue, and Tuchel is forced to get Timo Werner out of the showers to come and jump on the field like ASAP. And you could tell
Timo Werner's just taking a crap, dude.
And you could tell Tuchel was upset. I know that the commentators were critiquing Pulisic, saying he should have said something earlier in training, you know, or at least run out there for 10 or 15 minutes, see how it feels, and then, you know, then do something. But I don't know. What do you think about that, man? Really quick.
I mean, he definitely tried to come out and sprint, and he felt something, right? It wasn't like he just walked out. So he came out and tried to sprint, but there's definitely something going on with his hamstring. I don't know. Usually when he's with the national team, I don't see it as often. But even with Dortmund, he's had hamstring issues, so there's definitely something there, and I just hope it doesn't ruin his career, you know?
Yeah, it's not a good look, and we've said it before, you know, staying healthy is an art, you know, that's part of being a professional, is somehow finding a way to stay healthy.
Yeah, or play through the injury.
Yeah, but either way, I mean, you can be the best player in the world, but if you don't play, then what's the point?
Yeah, no, I get you.
Sucks.
Yeah, it definitely does. And kind of going off of that, right after that, went all downhill for Chelsea, and they have been awarded the dud of the week.
Dud of the week for sure, man. 5-2, and they must have lost like a big team to lose 5-2, right?
Yeah, it should have been one of the top six. Oh, yeah. It was actually one of the bottom two fighting for relegation, bro. I think that was one of the first losses too under Omer Thomas Tuchel. Or Tuchel, it was crazy. 5-2. That game was at 4:30 a.m. on the West Coast. I woke up and I was like, "What the heck happened?" Only highlight was Pulisic
and
scoring.
And that game was at 7:30 on the East Coast. And at the same time, I woke up and I was like, "What the hell happened?"
David doesn't wake up early.
Hell no.
But flipping the switch, stud of the week goes to none other than Jesse Lingard. Actually happened earlier today. West Ham, well, it was crazy because they almost didn't win, but won 3-2 versus Wolverhampton. Jesse Lingard with a goal and an assist to push West Ham into the top four. They are currently in a Champions League spot, dude. You know, West Ham, that's crazy. I never would have thought I would have seen West Ham battling for a top four. Do you?
No, and this is why the EPL is just so much more popular. It's more fun. Because it's not only are they getting like these smaller teams into the top tier, you know, of the EPL, you know, a lot of these EPL teams are still performing well in the Champions League, so it's not like they're getting like crushed. So that's why it's just fun to see that, you know, it's cool.
Yep. But speaking about Champions League, it returns this week. Make sure you guys check them out. Come on, City. Let's see if they can get it done. But David, anything else for the listeners?
Nah, that's all I got, man.
Make sure you guys review. Make sure you guys give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on any other podcast devices that you guys are listening to. Reach out on Facebook. Reach out Soccer Cat. Oh, I mean, sorry.
Your other podcast. Well, there's your plug.
There's my plug for the other podcast. But make sure you guys reach out at info@thesundayfootball.com. Facebook, Twitter. Guys, hope you enjoyed it.
Send us questions if you got them, guys. We'll bring it up on the podcast.
Hey, thank you guys. Oh, I'm also single, so if you guys just want to reach out. But guys, thank you. Enjoy the rest of the week. Peace.
It's been real. It's been fun. But it hasn't been real fun. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out weekly. As always, if you have any questions,
feel free to reach out via email or on any of our social media platforms. Bye. Have a good week.